Anyway, I had to go to County Lockup, 30 days, and I got out. And my friends, like any good military friend should do, said, "You want to like pay rent or get food? No, let's throw a party and invite whores and have a gangbang."
Hey, welcome back, Four for the Road, everybody. I mean, it was Punk Rock. We got Andar and No Shame with us today, and we would almost want to apologize for our like month long hiatus, but you know we have other shit to do. So you get what you get. It's free, right?
I think has it been longer than a month?
No, it's 2 days. It'll be a month. I think our last one went up on like February 27th.
Well, Ken's all like, guys, we got to make another episode. People are hitting us up. It's like six people in the inbox.
Yeah, but I got bored and I miss you guys.
It's all right. We're gonna make those six people really happy. We're gonna talk all about club business and stuff, and it'll be great. It's gonna be a good episode.
Yeah, definitely. So, No Shame, would you like to start with the club business?
Yeah. So my club X is now at war with Club Z.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, we so wrap things up with Club Y.
Wait, here, if we pause this for a minute, I'll go in the other room and get my gun, and then I just make like racking sounds while he's talking. If we did live videos, you know, we could like put the gloves on, the latex gloves, and then load magazines. I bet we get it.
Gonna make sound effects in the background.
Blah, blah. We get so many more subscribers.
Yeah, I mean, hell, we might even get a fucking rap deal.
You know, I think as a social experiment, we should try that. Like, we should make up two motorcycle club names that don't exist, and then like commentate on a war between them, and like give updates. So I bet we get so many more readers or so many more followers.
Well, yeah, but what I would worry about is like fucking two guns, and I don't want to fucking be like that.
The only thing I would worry about is like this day and age, like how many club names are really like left untouched?
Yeah.
So
right?
We would end up having like this commentary between these two clubs that we thought didn't exist. And then somewhere in like Arkansas, you've got like the Butt Pirates MC, like, "Hey, I heard you killed one of my members in the Cunt Stick MC, and now we're fighting for real."
There's like three guys in a club just listening to this going, "That's our fucking club."
Oh, sorry, did we say, oh no, it wasn't brown and white, it was brown and yellow. Sorry guys, I wasn't trying to,
you know what, you know what would happen? Even if we got it right and there, we could make up a club, somebody would then adopt that name,
and oh, yeah, they would use the episodes as like street cred.
That would be their history on their website. But it's okay, on their website the first banner would be like, you know, traditional MC.
Yeah, right.
You know, you said that, speaking of making up
behind there.
Speaking of making up names, I'm not going to drop any names, but I had a buddy of mine, good friend of mine. He lived in a different state, but you know, we military connection, all that kind of stuff. We stayed in touch. This was a lot of years ago, probably almost a decade ago. Anyway, he wanted to start a motorcycle club, and he was like asking me about it and stuff like that, because we were both interested in clubs and whatnot. I really didn't know a whole lot at that point, that long ago. And I knew enough to be like, don't, right? But he was dead set on like, he's going to do it. And he was trying to come up with his name. And I'm not going to give the name because it would fucking give it away. But it was like a nickname for a city, which is cool, whatever. It was a cool sounding nickname too. It was a big city, whatever. It's kind of a good idea. However, a simple Google search turns out that this was the name in like the 60s or 70s of an underground gay motorcycle club that was around for like 5 or 6 years. And it was like the ass. I don't know how many there are, and excuse the pun, but it was like the asshole of like the gay biker scene. Like they would go around and like start fights at underground gay clubs and like beat other gay people. and so I sent him this article and I was like, "Are you sure you want to go in this direction?" And he's like, "Oh, no, never mind." So he actually ended up joining he's in a legit diamond club now, but I mean, that was quite a few years ago and it still makes me laugh.
We're gonna have to discuss more offline. I have so many questions.
But I just imagine like, and I've tried to find that Google article again, and you have to like dig like three or four pages deep, but it was like this write-up from some like independent city newspaper in this big city, and they talked about how these guys were just like assholes, the gay biker assholes, the dominant gay bikers or whatever. I was like, if you're a dominant gay biker, are you all tops then? Like, how does that work? You only accept bears?
Bears and power bottoms.
And that's it. That's the episode. This is.
Jesus. You know, we were gonna kind of do like a funny one on like biker stereotypes or whatever. But I feel like talking about power bears or grizzly bears or whatever.
I feel like power bears and grizzly bottoms.
There's nowhere else you need to go from there.
I think that kind of encompasses all biker stereotypes.
Well, right now, there. The first commentary on this is going to be like, you guys were gone for a month, and this is the first thing you come up with when you come back.
We did have fucking 4 weeks to think of something to talk about, and instead we were fucking sharing memes and talking shit about people.
In my defense, I'm on pain meds and I'm drinking, so.
Hey.
So Ken had this idea that he wanted to talk about biker stereotypes. So what brought you to this? There had to be some kind of motivation. There had to be something that irked you or that you maybe you enjoyed. I don't know. That you're like, dude, that's a biker stereotype. What was?
It was actually when I did not go down to Daytona and I did not hang out with Mac Black because I'm not allowed to. Because of my job, we definitely
is the Navy not racist.
I think so. Statistically proven. Anyways, getting away from that. No, we definitely were not talking about, you know, just kind of like the lames that we saw, that we allegedly would see if we were together walking through a bar that we weren't at, and. It was just kind of funny, like, just talk shit, be like, oh, yeah, dude, oh, that guy definitely rides a big wheel bagger. Or, like, oh, that guy definitely fucking takes his Sportsters to fucking, you know, bike nights and tries to fucking, like, big dick baggers, you know, like, just dumb shit like that.
Did you guys do a stereotype on the guys that sit at a bar and judge what other people are riding?
I think I'm going to be that guy. That's fine. I'll end up on the podcast like that. But we did see Ricky Ross. I don't know if y'all saw that. We saw this dude look just like fucking Rick Ross.
Yeah, I saw that video. He did look like Rick Ross. Isn't Rick Ross in shape now, though? Doesn't he do, like, CrossFit and shit?
I don't know. I'm going to Google that because you are not the first person to ask me that.
Since... It might have been him because he's from Florida, isn't he? I'm not, like, I don't know. No, I'm thinking DJ Khaled. I don't know where Rick Ross is from.
No, I think Rick Ross is from Jacksonville, but I highly doubt he would be hanging out at a bar Ken's at.
Rick Ross is actually from Mississippi.
Is that where he was a correctional officer?
Ooh. Holy shit. Yeah, dude, this guy's kind of... Yeah, he is skinny. What the fuck?
Are you sure you're not looking at, like, freeway Ricky Ross?
Dude, look at that, dude. He kind of looks like a messed up Will.i.am.
No, he does. He looks like James Harden if, like, James Harden was, like, bloated. But he did lose weight, so, I mean, good for him. Who am I to talk shit? I look like shit anyway.
Right. I do too, man. It's okay.
Hey, I wanted to ask, No Shame, how many friend requests did you get today?
Bro. I was like, why the fuck does my phone keep vibrating? It's just like, bing, bing. Like, but thank you for using a flattering picture that's 3 years old, by the way.
It's only 3 years old?
It might be four. I don't know.
The only reason I picked that one is because for whatever reason your middle finger looks ridiculously long. It looks like a dildo, and we actually had somebody comment on that in the inbox, didn't we?
You know, like when I think it was on Oprah, she said like for every like 10 pounds a guy loses, you gain like an inch of dick. It's like the same thing for middle fingers. That's why they're so short right now, because that picture was like definitely.
If that's true, I'm never gonna eat again. Like, I'm just gonna do water and multivitamins to stay alive.
Man, that means I need to lose like 80 pounds so I can have a 9-inch dick.
So hang on. So allegedly not going to Daytona, was that like your first experience with like a major rally sort of thing?
In Florida, yeah.
Because I've been trying to get No Shame to go to Sturgis with me, but he doesn't want to. It's okay.
Just busy, man.
And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you noticed this when you were there, Ken. I don't know if you noticed this when you were there, or no shame any of the stuff you see on the West Coast, but like, to me, like, we talked a little bit about it in the chat, but like, there's pockets of like righteous dudes or rad ass dudes, club dudes, whatever, that are kind of taking rallies back over. Like, you're always not, maybe not always, but you're still going to have the flat pocket dudes, the big wheel bagger, you know, you're still going to have the dude that thinks that his $100,000 motorcycle makes him hard and stuff like that. I mean, you know, stereotypes exist and there's assholes in every sort of factional life, but I've noticed at least like this year, maybe like social media, Instagram, stuff like that, that people you choose to follow makes it a little more like in your face, but like just normal dudes that you would want to chill with and have a beer are like setting their own pockets within these rallies. Like, yeah, they might go and walk Main Street one day or something like that, but then, you know, they're setting up performance shows, they're doing old school chopper shows, they're doing Dyna shows, they're, you know, they're finding a back road somewhere and ripping wheelies and having kind of like impromptu beer fest and stuff like that. And I think that's something you didn't see, you know, 5 years ago really with this stuff.
No, 100%, man. I would equate that to like the Yuma prison run when that was still going on.
Good word.
This guy. But what I noticed down there is exactly what you're talking about. You know, we had Jeff G. Holt was down there, doing his thing. There was a bunch of people down there making, just kind of taking the culture back, doing their thing, just having a good time, not really subscribing to all the fucking bullshit that you're going to find all over the news, you know? And I think they are doing exactly what, like, the old heads think that is impossible, which is getting back to the roots. You know, you see people like Jeff Holt just building shit, right? Like, he says, hey, look, like, this is the part that I'm using. You know, I've used it for this many miles. It's fucking dope. That's why I'm going to run it forever. You got, and Galen and Lance, you know, from Tulane Life, they're out there just smashing fucking miles like I smashed beers, dude. It's fucking phenomenal. I love it. And, you know, same with Jace from the Fast Life. We see him just crushing miles, and he's got his own camp out going on. So I think we're definitely getting back to the roots, and that was it was shown during the Daytona Bike Week. You had, like you said, those little pockets of just the guys that are there just to have a good time and be themselves. You know, there was no attitude, there was no bravado, there was no drama, in the areas that I was in, allegedly, and I think we're getting back there. You know, you'll see, and you see the same stuff in the human prison run when that was going on. You know,
I'm not a West Coast guy. For something like the prison run, did you guys get a lot of different club involvements? Like, I think, you know, and I'm not going to speak on territories or specifics, but I think here we have certain runs that are kind of associated with certain clubs for some of the bigger runs. But for some, I'm not, like I said, my experience, my knowledge is not really West Coast based. But so do you guys have the same thing where, you know, maybe one club claims this, or is it more kind of commingled?
For that, it was actually founded, obviously, in one nation's territory, by a nation that didn't claim territory. It was founded by the Centaurs MC. A lot of people never even heard of them. But it was just a place to get together and then just have fun and let loose and not conform to societal standards and just be yourself. It can get a little tense depending on who shows up. But outside of that, there's no real issues that arise from that.
So like no shame for you, like, as somebody that's important and good looking, by the way. is there like a outside of like the obvious considerations that a club guy would think of, is there anything else that you think of? Like, would you consider taking your guys or offering a club run to a rally or something like that?
Well, first of all, I'm not important, just a normal guy. But beyond that, I mean,
he meant you're not us.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll keep that then. I'm not a huge rally guy. So, I mean, there's like, I mean, even really, like, really up here, there's not a ton of rallies that really happen. I mean, there's like, we have the Oyster Run, and that's once a year, and it's pretty laid back. I mean, it's the largest single day run on the West Coast, but it doesn't really ever get too crazy. My club personally does one charity run every year out to Forks, Washington. And then there's like the Olympia Toy Run, which is like another charity run that, you know, pretty much everybody gets involved with, just giving fucking toys and shit to needy, underprivileged children or whatever you want to call it. But as far as like rallies, it's just never really been my thing. And I think part of it might be like the club aspect. You know, a lot of these places you can't rock your club colors and stuff. So it's like if I'm riding all the way across the country and I want to camp out on my bike, then how am I going to secure these things while I'm walking around trying to do other stuff without my colors on? So I don't know. It's just never really been a thing I've been super into. You know, it's something I wouldn't mind checking out. It would just have to be like the right circumstances for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Like you were saying about that, about the Oyster Run or whatever, being the largest, like a single day. Do you have pockets where it's like, you know, club guys do this over here and civilian guys do this over here? Or do they kind of like everybody kind of mingles with everybody?
Everything's pretty much intermingled. You have like the main drag that goes through the town, and pretty much the whole thing shut down. And then you'll get a bunch of bikes parked up the center of the road. And then all the, like the bars and restaurants and everything all up there, all up and down are open. There's like some sports ball game that's playing and some teams doing things. So everybody's all excited about that. And then you'll get the side streets. They'll have like different clubs. They'll have like, you know, support gear stuff set up. But everybody's pretty much intermingled. I mean, yeah, I don't really know what you guys are like referring to as far as like getting back to the old ways or having like pockets of people that are trying to enjoy stuff, right? Because I guess I've just never experienced like a shitty rally. So I don't know. Like I'm envisioning like, what's that dude in fucking in Tiger King that like stole Joe Exotic's fucking tiger of a zoo?
Yeah, Jeff something, right?
Yeah, like when you guys are talking, I'm envisioning a bunch of him running around like in
Affliction
t-shirts. Is that picturing it right?
Yeah,
there's more often than that. That's what you're gonna find at a rally.
Was it Jeff Lowe? Was that his name?
No, that seems too convenient to be Blow.
No, yeah. Low. Jeff Lowe.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, somebody's gonna Google
We're on that gay MC thing, and now here I am with Power Grizzlies and Blow.
Oh, I think that's what I'm gonna name this episode: is Power Grizzlies and.
It is Jeff Lowe. Yeah, I'll show you guys a picture, and then we can post it on the fucking thing later.
Yeah, that's 100% what the.
That's what Daytona Bike Week looked like.
Probably even with the tiger.
Yeah,
you know. I will say this about Bike Week, that when I was allegedly there, which isn't true, obviously, there was a lot of – the only attitude that I really did see there was a bunch from independent guys, you know, leaning on their bikes, talking shit about like, oh, fucking – I rode my bike to Trailer Week in Daytona. And then I look at their license plates, and all Florida license plates, right? And it's just like, dude, like, you're in Daytona, so – the most you rode was probably 600 miles if you were not even that. Maybe we'll call it 400 if you rode from like the border of what is that, Alabama? I don't know. I fucking suck at I hate Florida, so I don't even pay attention to anything that's around it. So yeah, I think it's Alabama is right there.
Yeah.
So unless you rode from Alabama down to Daytona, you weren't really putting in any kind of miles, man. Like I'm in Jacksonville, I put on 100 one way. But that was really it, and they were that kind of like Jeff Lowe thing or fucking Joe Blow, whatever his fucking name was, you know, the Affliction guy, the guy that always wears like his Harley Davidson jacket, but he showed up in his Kia, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but outside of that, like people that were to there just to have a good time and to not be an asshole, they were just that, and that was the majority of the kind of people that you saw there.
Dude, I feel like, and of course I'm stereotyping, so I guess it fits in with what you wanted to talk about, but a lot of the times the dudes that are the most vocal about, I hate rallies and all this other stuff are the dudes that would like sit on their bikes and just try to mean mug other people. And I'm like, well, you're kind of like, you're the dickhead. Like, this dude's, yeah, this dude might seem douchey to me because he's got a $100,000 bike and a Tiger, but maybe I'm just mad because I can't have sweet jeans and a Tiger. I don't know. But like, if that's what that dude enjoys and he wants to come down here and he wants to trailer his fucking $100,000 motorcycle or his $10,000 motorcycle or whatever and pay $8 and hang and get a bra from the Broken Spoke or whatever the famous saloon is down there, like, then I want him to do that. Like, that's not impacting me at all. I am probably going to choose not to have my beer next to him and be perfectly fine. I do know that, like you were talking about, like, a lot of our No Shame was talking about, like, do those bars, will they let you in with, like, your callers and stuff when you're at the one in Washington?
Oh, in Washington? Yeah. Yeah, we don't have any issues up there.
Because obviously, like Sturgis, Daytona, you know, some Laconia almost seems like a little bit better, or used to be anyway. I don't know if it still is. You can't get anywhere with your callers, like in the main part of it. Like, yeah. There's just like no bars that are gonna let you in. There's like maybe like one. Otherwise, you've got to go on the back streets, or you got to go down the road and find that bar that let you in with callers. So I mean, most club guys at that stuff, it's like they almost stay away from Main Street. Like, you know, the major attractions and stuff like that, and let the dudes that maybe you know, like you said, the Affliction dudes have Main Street now, and then the performance guys or the more chill, hard mile guys are over in this side, and the club guys are over here. That's kind of more what you're gonna see at a major rally like Daytona or Sturgis now. But listen, I think, you know, just in the last few years, like when I think the first time I ever went to Sturgis was 6 years ago. And 5 years ago, something like that, 5 or 6 years. And you didn't have, it was a lot more of the Jeff Blow Tiger guys than it was, you know, the other thing. So, I mean, it's cool to see like variety coming back. And I don't know if we're ever going to get away from $8 and $10 beers and mean mugging dudes, but if we can, great.
Was it cool?
Well, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to get away from that. Solely, you know, or like wholly, we're never going to get away from that. You know, you're always going to have, every group has its fucking douchebag. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, there's fucking douchebags at church, you know, like, oh, my faith's cooler than your faith and shit like that. Like, whatever, dude.
But I did notice that if you go to like Sturgis, especially just because it's closer to me, that's like the one I can like reference the easiest. If you like stay away from Main Street and you're not out at the campgrounds that have like the concerts and shit, like if you're not there to see Kid Rock opening up for Bret Michaels, like you can have a really good time. Like if you stay away from that stuff, you can like ride, you can like Wyoming's close, Montana's close, like you can ride to these other places, and then you'll meet more people that like you would maybe want to hang out with, like the guys that got out and rode the back roads to this out of the way bar in Wyoming or something like that. And so that's the kind of shit that you have to look for, I think.
Is that the appeal to it? Like, cause I mean, everybody, we've all got like, not me, obviously I don't have experience, but like, there's like something bad to say about what rallies have turned into, but like, what's the thing that keeps you going to them?
I think like I like the bikes. I like, you know, a lot of the dealers and parts dudes will bring out new stuff that maybe they haven't released yet. Some of the bike shows and things like that. But yeah, I think that, you know, for some people the attraction is probably, you know, the bartenders in bikini tops because everybody wants to fall in love with a stripper. You know, believe it or not, there's a huge demographic apparently that loves Kid Rock music. and they all have fingerless leather gloves and Harley bandanas, and they like to get their Buffalo Chip pass and camp out and shit and do that. So that's cool if that's your thing. I think that's still a huge attraction for a lot of bikers.
And they are also, that's the same demographic that's keeping Affliction going.
So I don't know, like for me, like if I'm gonna put miles on to go like hang out and do something, I'd much rather like just go see one of my brothers or stop in at a clubhouse or something. Like, I'm not a fan of strip clubs. I don't give a shit about how my bike performs as long as it looks and sounds good. And yeah, I mean, I would not like to get arrested for being as intoxicated as I like to get when I'm fucking kicking it. So yeah, going to a clubhouse is far more appealing to me.
Some of these rallies have turned into, or have been for a while, national runs for some clubs and stuff like that. There's some clubs out, you know, in South Dakota that they have a house, they have a clubhouse, like right where the rally would go down. Like, you're walking down a side street and fucking there's a clubhouse. You're like, oh, okay. So yeah, so some of them, they do that. But yeah, I could definitely see that if you're a club guy, like all of a sudden now, not only are you mingling with people that you don't know who they are, which I think is a big thing for club guys. Like, I don't need to maybe not, I don't know that I necessarily need to know everyone's name in the room, but you like to have a general idea that you kind of have a feel, the type of people that you're around, and you don't have that control at a rally. So now the guy with his CVMA vest on is obviously a fucking cop, and he's trying to chill with No Shame, the chosen few. So, I mean, that's something that you can't control at a rally. Ooh, Ken looks like, ooh, I brought up military. Look at Ken. He's over there. He's got a notepad out.
I'm gonna be, no, fuck it, man. It's fucking supposed to be talking about stereotypes. Let's talk about fucking bro vets. We're all fucking veterans here.
Don't you have like five episodes where you complain about bro vets?
He hates bro vets. So
I think I work that into every episode that bro vets are the fucking worst. Like, dude, you are the only motherfucker that I know that owns grunt style t-shirts, nine line t-shirts that I actually respect. Most of the other people that own that shit, it's just like, dude, you are an insufferable cuck.
Who are you talking to that has nine line and grunt style?
You.
I will kill you.
What's that you're wearing right now?
It's a fucking Key West shirt about fishing.
Oh, man. It kind of looked like a helicopter. I don't know, dude. Fucking.
Look at you over there assuming shit.
It's a fucking Marlin.
It kind of looks like. Okay, now that you're all like showing it and shit, that's definitely a fishy. Anyways, Bovets.
I'm going to piss all over your couch next time I'm down.
You got to come down here to do it, man. Let's go.
Hey, Ken, you got the Four for the Road decals now? Is that available for everybody or just us?
Yeah, man. That's up on the website. That's on BastardSonSupply.com. It's a pre-order thing
this
right
wasn't,
now.
This wasn't a promo. I was asking the fucking questions, yes or no.
Yeah, I just answered your fucking question.
Well,
guys.
So since you're doing vinyl now, when are you going to start doing 3% or vinyl stickers? I need one for the back window of my truck, like maybe 12 to 13 inches by 12 to 13 inches.
No.
Can you make that happen?
No, I cannot.
If there's a demand for 3% or stickers, why aren't you going to make them?
Because that's just contributing to the fuckery that I want to bitch about.
I mean, how many vets can we get to buy one? We get a lot of vets to buy that and make you some money.
I'd rather not.
See, and that's why you should go to BastardSonSupplyCompany.com because their owner has integrity. Above all else, he cares about his principles over his profits.
Boom.
There you go. Now you got your promo, you fucking greedy fuck.
Does the military know you have a side hustle?
Because
they do know.
Yes. I mean, sort of. I mean, people at work know I have my habit, but...
Is that still a thing? Like, that used to be a thing. I mean, I know I'm getting older, but that used to be a thing. Like, you had to fill out a request shit to, or a request form to have an outside off-post job.
Yeah, like, if you're active duty and you have to, like, go work somewhere else, and it's not, like, an online job, then, yeah, you still have to do that.
When I was first in, I was, like, 20, maybe 21, I got a part-time job at my first duty station working at a 7-Eleven, like, in the ghetto. And I used to steal roller dogs, like, because I forget what it was. There was, like, a time you had to change them over. And, of course, I worked, like, the night shift, right? So I'd, like, be there for, like, roller dog shift turnover. I would just be, like, eating, like, four of those things. Like, I wouldn't even buy groceries in, like, my first apartment. I just have, like, roller dogs from the 7-Eleven that were, like,
two yeah. Hell yeah. I don't know why you didn't look like me while you were in then, man.
I mean, I did, but...
Okay. No, so
I think it was like one of those anemic things where like you're so undernourished that you look slim because all you're eating is roller dogs from 7-Eleven.
You're chasing it's like 90% saline.
You're chasing it with a multivitamin from medical.
Oh man, yeah. So what else we got? We got fuck bro vets. What else?
So wait, so for those that now know because of the picture that I used, No Shame's a vet. Do you have anything, bro? Do you have any Brovet confessions that you would like to give us?
I don't like my wardrobe consists of black t-shirts, so I don't have any Nine Line apparel or any of that shit.
Well, good thing you don't have any fish apparel either. Or Ken would.
I know. I don't have any logos on any shirts, so Ken doesn't have to hate me.
Because we all know that that's what matters.
Yeah.
So, like, if you open up your saddlebag, is there like a big vinyl sticker of a howitzer?
Like, oh, you know, I do have that I keep with me. That's kind of like bro vetish. I got this fucking Tommyhawk.
That's kind of. I thought he was about to pull out a gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like his son.
I have those too, but like, yeah, I keep a little Tommyhawk with me on a motorcycle.
How is that bro fetish? Like, that's
I don't know. I feel like everybody that like wants to be a ranger has a thing with having like Tommyhawks.
No, I feel like that's more like a Washington. What, you're like that dude off a 90 Day Fiance from Washington.
Is that the fat guy with no neck?
Yeah. No. The tall. You know what? I'm not going to get into this and then get called out for watching 90 Day Fiance.
Why? We're not editing it out. You've already made the announcement.
No, nah, that's total. That's like a total, you know, he's got his flannel and a tomahawk. I feel like that's what I think of when I think of like Washington State.
Oh, well, sick. Yeah, I guess I don't have any bro vet tendencies then. I mean, maybe that's it.
I feel like, you know, like you'd be like, well, where's No Shame? And then he's like got a flannel and he's like bringing dinner back that he just killed with his tomahawk. He's like, oh, okay, that makes sense to me.
Like, that's Washington. While doing a rain dance? Like, do you have any indigenous blood in you?
No, I ate a smoked salmon once though.
Oh, okay, cool.
Not even relevant, but no, because there's like a lot of reservations and casinos up there. That's why I was asking.
There are a lot of.
Hey man, so I heard you like to gamble, and there's a lot of casinos up there. You native? What's going on?
Well, I buy my tobacco from the natives because they have better prices.
That was a better shit. See, the white guy just came to this country just fine. Anyways, so back to stereotypes.
Yeah, which one do you have next other than the racist white guy with his bastard son supply? Maybe that should be a t-shirt you make.
You guys should sell blankets.
So many people aren't going to get that. There's so many people that aren't going to get why that's funny. Like, what do you mean? Why would I give them blankets? I don't get it.
Oh, we lost half the audience.
Oh, and the other half that gets it is just going to be pissed that I make fun of them for not getting it. Like, I fucking got it, God.
He said...
some highbrow shit, people.
Right?
Highbrow shit, and you're getting it all for free.
Yeah, I mean, because like literally, you have to think now that blankets, natives, and put it together to get that joke. So you're welcome. Like that shit was free.
Oh, he's talking about smallpox blankets. Oh, that was good. That was
the best part about being a vet is we've all been vaccinated against smallpox.
Yeah, that's like I know that the hot topic right now is the COVID vaccine and shit like that. And I was like, you know what? I'm totally against it being used as a weapon to whether or not you can retain your job. But that's like, other than it being monopolized, like how you can live your life, I literally don't give a shit. Like maybe I'm just lazy. Like if you roll a vaccine van out here tomorrow, I'll go get in it. All right. I was in the army. I've been stabbed in the butt with stuff. I don't know what it was. I've had the anthrax vaccine. What was that malaria medication they gave us in like the late 2010? That's gonna it eats your brain after like 20 years or something like that. We're all gonna have brain cancer.
Does it fucking eat your brain? Okay, because every time I had like a sexual experience that I wasn't quite sure about, like I didn't know the chick and I don't know how cautious I was that night before, I would take like 12 of those doxycyclines just to be
safe. I think 12 of anything is bad for you. So that first, I think 12 of anything is overkill. Second of all, I don't know that I'm 100%. There's something bad about it. I don't know if it's like it eats your liver, it eats your heart, it eats your brain, whatever. There's like some kind of side effect with that.
Do you remember like the crazy fucking dreams you would have when you took that shit?
Dude.
I don't remember much about it. It was so long. It was, mine would have been, 2010 would have been the last. So I mean, I guess it's just been a minute. And maybe that's part of my brain getting eaten away. I can't remember it.
it also causes ED. So there's that.
Well, I didn't have that experience.
No, I didn't have. I didn't get that either.
The guy that brought it up, he's like, no, 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 I didn't get that either.
I just heard that from.
I mean, do I need to start jacking off and funny? I can prove to you guys it gets hard. I don't care.
Yeah, I guess get closer to the screen. I don't know what to tell you, but.
Right. Turn your zooms on, fellas. It's coming out.
Dude, I'm just lazy. Like that's the only reason that I haven't gotten it. Cause I think it's free for vets or something like that at the VA. I mean, I think it's free for everybody, but I think like all vets can like make an appointment at the VA and go get it. And I don't care. I'll do it. Like I told my wife I would do it just so like she could see if like my fucking asshole comes out of my body or something like my intestines just drop out because I got the COVID vaccine. I was like, I'll be a test dummy. I don't care. I just don't think they should attach it to you can't. Do what I, you know, like here's a section like sporting events are like here's a section for people that we like and here's a section for assholes that didn't get the vaccine, like, or you know, like an employer's like, I'm gonna fire you if you don't do this. Like, I'm against that, but as far as like me getting it, nah, roll that shit.
there's gonna be like leper colonies, and like give it a year, there's gonna be fucking non-vaccinated like leper colonies for people that won't get the fucking COVID vaccine. You all just have to live together. Eyeballs falling out. Ken, did you like get it? Be in active duty?
Huh?
Do they force it on you guys?
They don't force it on you directly. I chose to get it. I just got my first shot the other day, Monday.
I can't believe you even have a choice in the service. Like, I can't believe they'd even give you an option.
I think it's because it's so new.
It's because it's so new and because it's such a politically charged topic. They don't want to force people that have political whatever fucking.
When did that become a words. Thing? I sound like the old guy now. It's, I mean, I got out in 14, but like, no, never I had a little over 10 years of service. Never did anybody give a fuck about my political opinions. Like, all that was ever taught to me was like, hey, don't go to a fucking rally and get seen. It don't matter what the rally is, Democrat, Republican, KKK, Black Panther, you can go whatever you want. Don't get seen. Yeah. Like, that was the only speech I ever got while I was in.
Yeah, it really is a different time now, man. I mean, we were in the military at the same time, so I understand what you're talking about, but it's just way different now, man. I couldn't explain it to you. I just want to say it's a politically charged argument, so they're not forcing people one way or another to get it. But
we're gonna get you hemmed up. We're gonna get you a court martial. Yeah. Oh, no. Tell me about that extremist training.
But
did you do your so the anti-extremist training, is that like a PowerPoint now for you guys?
It legit is a fucking PowerPoint. Anyways, like,
you get army knowledge online.
Back to the vaccine. They're not.
How's the vaccine on top?
Get it? They're not forcing us to get it. But they're limiting shit that you can do. Like, the Marines are really big on it, right? So they're saying, like, oh, there's some commands that are out there that, oh, if you don't have the vaccine, that's fine. You don't have to get the vaccine. But your liberty radius is, like, 25 miles away from base. You're not allowed to take leave. You're not allowed to take special liberty. So if we get a 96-hour liberty, you're fucking sucks to suck, bro. You're, like, you're still working over that weekend. So, they're making it really painful for people that don't want to get it. So no, they're not forcing us to get it, but they're definitely trying to fucking make it painful so you do get it.
So I know that some of our listeners probably aren't vets, so they probably don't give a shit about this. But here, real quick, one rabbit hole, 2 minutes, then we can move on to something else. My thought. Remember in like 2000, was it 16, 17, something like that? The military was just getting bent over backwards about like sexual assault, chicks, dudes. Sexual trauma, we're sexually harassing everybody, like we can't keep our hands off of balls and buttholes. Like the military was just get bent over backwards. Now no sexual harassment anymore. Now it's all extremist. So COVID was not Chinese, it was the American government. You're welcome. Shut down the podcast, we're done.
No,
there's people that are gonna take me seriously. I'm gonna get messages too, like, bro, that was a really good point.
Did you hear about those FEMA camps? Dude, the chemtrails.
Ooh, chemtrails. That's a good one. We could spend hours on that one. But No, man, we're getting towards a feel good service kind of thing, right? Like these admirals are, dude, I'm not fucking lying. There are these officers that are probably older than, well, almost as old as my father.
Are they all gonna get out and join the Legion Riders?
Probably. But like these people are using terms like woke and shit like that now. It's like, homie, hold up. Like, first off, you're mayonnaise white. Like, you cannot fucking say that. Stop it. First off, like, stop. But like I said, man, we're getting towards like a feel good service where fucking, you know, senior enlisted and officers pat themselves on the back for.
So fucking as somebody that's still in and you're doing this PowerPoint that freezes knowledge online course about extremism and all this other shit, like, has it hurt guys that want to be in the service and be in clubs? Like, for a long time, like, there's been this misconception that an extremist group can include a motorcycle club. Okay, anything can include anything. A kitty toucher can include a motorcycle club. Like, you know, a cop can be a kitty toucher. Like, it's all relevant. But, you know, for the military's had a hard on and trying to keep guys out of some clubs. Is this going to accelerate that?
I believe so. To an extent, the people that just drink the fucking Kool-Aid and don't take the training for what it's worth, I think that they're gonna see like the Legion Riders, or they're gonna see CVMA, and they're gonna freak the fuck out, be like, "Oh my god, he's in a fucking gang! Kick him out of the military." But I think for the most part, people are just gonna fucking leave it alone. Like, I know that there's a few dudes on base that are in clubs, well-known clubs. And their chain of command has literally just Googled their fucking club because they saw a support sticker on their bike or something like that on base.
So is that dumb as fuck now? Like, should you not put that shit on your bike? So again, like I said, we've obviously established that in the 6 years I've been out, I guess going on seven, shit has immensely changed. But 100%.
Yes, I absolutely do believe, and there should be a giant separation between your professional life and your personal life. Regardless of what your affiliations in your personal life are, right? Whether, like, even if you're not in a fucking club, your shop doesn't need to know, you know, like, fucking what size underwear you wear, right? Like, your shop doesn't need to know everything about you. And honestly, like, your chain of command is just trying to get to learn you so they can know what kind of fucking buttons to push that'll fucking motivate you to do a little better. I'm the detachment LPO. I'm telling you from experience, that's why we do things.
You're so going to mess. You're getting a fucking NJP, bro.
Man, what the fuck are they gonna do? Take away my birthday?
Were you doing club stuff when you were still in the service? No shame, or did you get into clubs when you got out?
No, I it was all same time. So I was prospecting before my last deployment, and then deployment came up, so my prospecting time got paused, and then I picked it back up again afterwards, and I think I had probably about a year, maybe a little over a year after I got back from that deployment before I got out of the Army.
Did you get any shit for your club affiliation? Did you hide it?
I didn't hide it just because I didn't really give a fuck at that point. So, like, I got kicked out of Iraq, so I was, like, flagged the entire time, and there was, like, no way that anything good was happening to me. So
do we get to unpack the whys of that, or do we just glaze right over that?
Why did I get kicked out of Iraq? It had to do with the same reason I would have taken 12 doxycycline, and so yeah, I was like a staff sergeant promotable. I already had like my own platoon and shit, and I got fucking flagged. So when you get flagged as a staff sergeant promotable waiting for sergeant first class, you have to wait until the next sergeant first class list comes out before you can get unflagged. So by the time that list would have came out, my ETS date would have already hit, which for those who aren't in the military, that's like my next, like when I get out of the Army. So there was no way I could reenlist, which I didn't really want to anyways, because like the club thing was kind of taking off for me. So, yeah, I just didn't really give a shit. And then my commander was really fucking cool. So, like, he knew, like, the entire time, like, what I was involved with. And he was, like, he's, like, a big, like, Hunter S. Thompson fan. So he, like, was really into his book about the Fell's Angels, even though it was a shitty book. So he like really wanted to know about club shit. So we would, me and him would like talk about it a lot, but I was never like flamboyant about it. Like I would never wear my colors on to post just because other people would have given a shit, you know? You just got to be kind of like cognizant of who you're around. Like I know, Ken, like you've been saying, like there's stuff that you could have gotten away with in your last command, and this one, it's like they're headhunting for shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's different everywhere you go, but like, I mean, when I was in, there was like sergeant majors that would ride their fucking bikes on post and have fucking support your local whatever 1% club on the fucking back of their bike. So,
yeah, I had a first sergeant that was in what's the military club out west that wears like all denim? Denim is like blue. They wear denim cuts.
Like U.S. military vets?
Like no. All denim, like they look like Willie Nelson.
Nah, some of them might have leather, but I just picture them in my head because most of them had like denim cuts. Is it the Rough Riders?
That is a military club. I don't know if they were all.
I don't know, maybe something like that. But anyway.
You know about the Rough Riders though? Side note, I actually have like a full copy of like their bylaws and like fucking like 6 years of their fucking national minutes. Because when we were at the old page, some guy was like leaking a story to me and sent me fucking a ton of their shit. So I can check and see if denim cuts is in there.
Was it juicy at least?
That's probably just that malaria medicine messing up my brain. I'm like, yeah, denim, fuck. But no, he was in a club, and it was a military club, and I want to say that was the right one. No disrespect to the Rough Riders if I got it wrong. But anyway, the point was that he would ride on base like that. Like I don't know if he wore his cut. I think he did, but it was definitely not a secret. Like there was stickers and other shit and soft colors and t-shirts and stuff like that and civilian clothes. We saw him, and there was no secret that he was in this motorcycle club.
I mean, there's some dude like I think if you're in a veterans club or like a military only club, like you know U.S. military vets or ALR, you know CVMA, whatever, you can get away with wearing that shit on base. Like it's military related. Obviously, it's not going to be.
Can they wear that on base?
Yeah, like CVMA up here can, like for sure. They for that toy run I was talking about that they have in December, the CVMA chapter like goes on post. And, like, some of the soldiers that are in, like, the club or the association, they fucking get LMTVs from base and, like, drive them down to fucking the spot where everybody meets up at. And they transport the toys and LMTVs.
Yeah. So how do you guys feel? Like, I like that in a sense. I think that's cool in a sense. And they're not a club. They're an association. I get that. But, you know, my problem has always been with some of those guys, you know, that are associations or even some that call themselves clubs, but your military service gets you the patch. Like you should stay in that lane. And some do stay in that lane, but others want to act like a club. But if you have a group that wants to act like a club, but then fall back on your association. But if I'm in a major diamond club, I can't just go on base and get an LMTV, but you can take year and your cut and your colors and you can go on base and go get this military vehicle. I mean, does that something that gives you pause? Do you see it as a double standard? Do you not give a shit, period?
I don't give a shit.
Personally?
I don't want an LMTV.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't give a shit. I mean, it's they chose that route and other people choose different routes. And like it goes back to there has to be a separation between your professional life and your personal life. You know, even if a little bit of it bleeds over into each other, that's fine. But like when people start knowing too much about you, I think that's a problem, especially at work.
And then like to your question, like it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, we take like little small digs at clubs like CVMA every now and then, but associations like CVMA every now and then. But, you know, it's all in good fun. They like. There's some people where that's where they want to be, and that's the kind of thing that they want to do, and that affords them certain benefits, and it affords them, you know, certain privileges that we don't get, and likewise, we get our benefits that they don't get as well. Like, I mean, I don't want to be in CVMA, but I would imagine that somebody in CVMA likes being there; otherwise, they would leave. You know, there's aspects about a organization like that that are not appealing to me. And then there's like perks that they get, like they can go on base whenever they want to, and like they don't have to be looking over their shoulder all the time. It's just different strokes for different folks.
There's definitely nothing wrong with being there. And yeah, like I think I think I throw most military clubs a big ration of shit, more so than they deserve. But I mean, dude, if you're happy there, that's all that matters, you know? Like you're not the Iron Order or Rock Machine, so who fucking cares, you know?
I don't want to go down the military thing, but I think like with any club, for me anyway, you know, I know there's other guys that are totally like, if there's one bad apple in a club, that whole club is shit. And there's some guys that they very much, that's how they feel. And I can understand that. I struggle a little bit just personally with that. To me, it's on an individual level. When you are the size of like, again, just using as a reference, the fucking the CVMA, which is huge for an association of veterans and very kind of visible in the motorcycle scene, right? One bad apple, two. Some of y'all have 10 bad apples. Like, it really makes that shit stand out. But it's no different than a major club that might have somebody that's an absolute shithead. Do you hold that entire club accountable for that chapter, for that person that's a shithead? For some guys, yes. The answer is 100% yes. Fuck that whole club because that dude was a shithead. And I totally get that. For some dudes, you know, like myself, it's like, I don't know if I can lump an entire organization in with the actions of a couple of dickheads. And I think for the, again, just as a reference point, the CVMA, I think that's what they get. Some dudes absolutely judge that entire organization because you have cops or because you have some shitty vets in there that want to act like they're in a club and stuff like that. And I think, like No Shame said, for some of them, it's a great spot for them just to have the camaraderie of the veteran community. They don't want anything beyond that. They don't act out of their lane, and it's good shit. And I think, you know, like I said, when you're that visible, because they have to be the largest fucking motorcycle veteran organization, I mean, by far, like they're fucking huge. You know, you're going to be susceptible to more fucking opinions, and you can care or not care. But yeah, I don't think for me, I can't, not a reflective of demographic as a whole. Then No Shame will be like, well, yeah, but fuck this club.
I think part of like, you know, bringing it back to the stereotypes thing, which is like what we set out to talk about, you know, when Ken talks shit about veteran clubs, it's really just, it's the stereotypical fucking douchey bro vet. So, like, I know people probably have, like, gotten turned off by it. But, like, understand that that's, like, we're talking about the fucking guys that are out there that use the fucking, that use their status as a veteran club to get out of shit, to get out of following protocol, to get out of following rules. But then at the same time, they want to act and function as if they're a normal, like, traditional MC. Now, a lot of what people don't understand is calling yourself a traditional MC means you have to fall in line with traditional rules, protocols, and values. So if you're not going to do both of those things, then like shut the fuck up about it. That's why I don't have like a really big gripe with like CVMA, because you know they don't have territory, they don't have an MC cube, like it's like a simple one piece patch on the back. Like, you know, for the most part as an organization, they do it the right way and they can go along functioning as an association and not have any issues. But like you said, every now and then we'll talk shit because they do have a couple of those guys in there that probably due to ignorance just think it's something different than what it really is.
And I'm sure it's all of their cop members. All right, officer, I see you turning that Iraq rocker into a fucking three-piece patch, okay? I fucking see you.
Oh, I've seen that.
Oh, here we go.
Well, no, down the street, when I lived in San Diego, I remember vividly, we had a party at my house, and so there was, you know, one or 12 motorcycles in my house, whatever, but this dude on a fucking brand new Road Glide kept, like, riding back and forth in front of my cul-de-sac, and he'd slow down when he'd get in the middle of the street and look over, and he'd take off, and he'd do that a couple times, so finally, he was like, fuck it, dude, like, who is this guy? We're in military housing, right? So it's not like it's anybody important or, you know, menacing, whatever. Go over there, and it was the Brotherhood MC, and their whole fucking patch is, if you are an expeditionary veteran, you got the Expeditionary Global War on Terrorism back patch, the fucking ribbon, or if you were not an expeditionary veteran, you got the Global War on Terrorism service ribbon as a back patch, and they were claiming territory. It was like fucking Brotherhood. It was a three-piece fucking patch claiming fucking California with Brotherhood on top. It was fucking gayer than AIDS.
Hang on. Wait. But I thought everybody was allowed to claim California. I thought y'all were cool with that. I thought that was the thing y'all did out on the West Coast. I don't know.
No, who's the other half of our listeners?
We're alienating fucking everyone tonight.
Right? Chuck it in the fuck it bucket, man. Who cares?
Chino so XL, fuck you too.
And then that poor that video with that poor girl, she's like, take money. Are we supposed to keep singing? Yeah, die slow, motherfucker. Are we supposed to keep singing? I don't know anymore. Take money.
I mean, dude, it's not like we're getting paid for this shit anyway. Fuck them.
YouTube is probably still gonna pick up that little bit of "Hit 'Em Up" by Tupac that we just did, and it's gonna flag this fucking episode.
Jesus Christ, man! Thanks for bringing that up. That's probably now that it's probably gonna happen now. Now that you said it.
But anyway, we're about to smash it.
Well, fuck YouTube as a staff, a record label, and as a motherfucker. And if you want to be down with YouTube, fuck you too.